Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20. Capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Check it out, and you'll hear from 49 authors about all sorts of things moms don't have time to do. All the authors have been on this podcast. Also, check out my TikTok, at With Zibby and Tracy, my other podcast, Sex Talk with Zibby and Tracy. Check out Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium. And of course, my new publishing company called Zibby Books. And now back to our daily author interview site and a quick hello from some of my kids.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Enjoy the show. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Here's a little snippet by one of the authors from the anthology.
My name is Rex Ogle, author of Free Lunch, and I'm stoked to have contributed to Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. My essay is called Historia Sobre Mí, Stories About Me, and what I really don't have time for is making time for self-care, but I'm learning to make time, and so should you.
Kyra Ruda is the author of The Next Wife. She is a USA Today and international best-selling, multiple award-winning author of contemporary fiction that explores what goes on beneath the surface of seemingly perfect lives. Her domestic suspense novels include The Next Wife, The Favorite Daughter, and Best Day Ever. Her next novel, Somebody's Home, is out in January 2022. To date, Kyra's novels have been translated into more than 10 languages.
Welcome, Kara. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss both Somebody's Home and The Next Wife. You're just like cranking out the books over here.
I know. It's kind of a problem. I think it's a pandemic problem. My kids all came home and we were just in here and I would come up to my office and just write about other people's stories to get away from it.
If you can't move your body, you might as well get your mind out.
Exactly.
In other places. Well, let's start with Somebody's Home. Why don't you tell listeners what it's about? It's coming out
January 18th, correct?
Yeah, it's funny. I haven't even really talked about it yet because it's, you know, kind of this, yeah. So anyway, but I think the whole story starts, it's kind of centered around a house, somebody's home, and one family is moving out and another family is moving in. And everybody has their own reasons for leaving and staying and changing their lives around. But it's, I think it was during the pandemic, and it was kind of the whole notion of home should be a safe place and what happens when it's not. And there's kind of a 20-something guy who has grown up in this house and he lives in the carriage house and he doesn't care who moves in. He's decided it's going to be his home. So it's kind of a, I guess, I don't even know how to describe it.
Anyone. No, you're right. He does not want to move. He's like not happy at all that his step-parent and parent and the other kid, you know, his half-siblings are moving out and they're in a new home and it has no room for him. And, you know, it doesn't matter that he's in his 20s. It's like, right. You know, it's a rude awakening nonetheless. So yeah, he's not a happy camper, it sounds like.
Not a happy camper, yeah. So, yeah, and it was, I mean, it really was kind of that time during the pandemic where you were at your house and thinking about like, what if you didn't have a safe place to be in? So anyway.
Yeah. I also thought it was funny too, in this book, you said, and she loves to play the victim. And for sure, she's had a great experience with that over the years. I'm not going to curse, but you said, my dad's a something a lot of the time. Look, honey, I'm getting a divorce. I bought my first house and I'm going to make it fabulous. Can you please cheer me on just a little? And then you say, are you trying for Real Housewives again, I ask? Dad kept her from doing the reality TV show last time. Now there's nothing to stop her. And I also thought this was so funny because Jill Zarin is the one who introduced us. So this was perfect.
I know, my little nod to Jill. I know, she's
nod
so great.
To Jill.
Yeah. And I just got to see her and it probably like triggered some like Desperate Housewife or Real Housewives kind of thing because she's so great and so like just open and out there in the world. And I think that's what people see. And that my character wants to be that person too.
Oh, I love it. And also, why don't you plug The Next Wife as well? I mean, you've got so many books. I mean, The Signs and Behind You. I mean, there's so many. You just, yeah. Anyway, Next Wife.
Well, The Next Wife in this story was kind of, I had fun with it because it's a story of two strong women and kind of the man that's in between them. So it's the first wife and the second wife. And what I wanted to do with what was, you know, kind of a typical trope was see if perhaps the power could stay with the first wife in some ways. So Kate is really strong. She's created a business. She and John, her husband, have built it and run it. And then everything's going perfect. They're launching an IPO, except for the fact that John has fallen in love with his administrative assistant and married her. Her name's Tish. And so that's the wrinkle in Kate's otherwise.
Definitely perfect always thing. A wrinkle when your husband falls in love with somebody else. Definitely a wrinkle.
And when you meet them all, they're just all together in the same conference room about to announce the IPO. So there's a lot of tension there, let's just say.
Yeah, interesting. Wait, so tell me, let's back up. How did you get started writing? And how do you, particularly this kind of book and all of it? Like,
I know, I mean.
Where did you grow up? Like, where are you from? How did we get here?
What is my story? Well, okay, I'll try to, you know, make it a short story. But I grew up all over the place. My dad was a professor. And so I was born in married student housing at Northwestern, where he got his PhD. And then my sister was born at USC. My brother was born at UT Austin. And we got our first pet at Harvard. And then we ended up at Ohio State. So I kind of feel like I've lived everywhere. I went to college at Vanderbilt in the Southeast. So I'm kind of a person who's lived everywhere, I guess. I always wanted to be an author from third grade on when I wrote to Robert McCloskey and said he was blueberries for Sal and make way for ducklings. And I wrote to him and he wrote back and said, well, good luck to you. I'm an illustrator, not an author. Better choose next time. So that kind of illustrates the publishing career. I think it's just, you know, like that. But
I did that too. I wrote letters to authors too.
Did you?
I think, yeah, it was like, anyway. I don't know. Now people can just go on Instagram, but yes.
Yeah, I know. It's great. Cause it was like, yeah, they're like celebrities to me. So then I went to college for English, but I never had the courage to get a byline, you know, write anything for anybody else. I always wrote for myself. Went into journalism and got my first bylines, kind of got the confidence there. But then I always wanted to kind of be Darren Stevens of Bewitched as well.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be the magic person. I wanted to be the one like creating. So I went into the advertising world, ended up running a vice president of marketing for, you know, all that glass ceiling stuff, super fun. And for a national carpet cleaning company, ironically, and then had to sue them for gender discrimination, sexual harassment. So while I was on the sidelines, I started finally trying to write my novel, which, you know, is a long process. My husband and I started a business then and built it, a franchise business to 22 states in residential real estate. And I was able to kind of show real estate people that women make or control 91% of all purchase decisions in the housing space. And back then that was like eye-popping, even though the entire industry was run by women. I mean, women were like 60% of the brokers, but all the bosses were still men. Anyway, so I would go around and use consumer terms like she and her, and people would be like, what? Anyway, so it was kind of nice. It was fun to kind of change the mindset of an industry. So we created Real Living and then sold it to Brookfield in Canada. And then they changed all the GMHC franchises to Real Living. So all of a sudden it was this huge brand. And then they didn't need me anymore because I'm in branding. And so then I finally wrote my first novel.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's and quite well,
actually, I wrote a business book first for women entrepreneurs. And that was called Real You Incorporated, 8 Essentials for Women Entrepreneurs. And then I went on a little speaking tour and I would talk to women and say, it's time to put your passion into action, make your dreams come true. And I realized I hadn't done that yet. So that's when I started writing. Okay, sorry, that was long.
No, it was not long. No, that's great. You wrote what you needed to hear yourself. I feel like people often do that, right? Like they say, write the book you need. And
I know, I think so. Even though I never thought about writing a business book, like that's what my dad did. So So anyway, everything turned out great. And of course, it was a seamless road to publishing. Everything went perfectly. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. So then I've done like everything. I've done hybrid publishing, self-publishing, you know, I've done it all, which has been, you know, I think that's part of the process too. And it's been kind of a great journey of learning because when you see it from all different sides, you also kind of build your knowledge base and comfort with what's right for you and what's a good fit. So anyway, all in all, I think things do work out the way they're supposed to. And I've been super happy writing domestic suspense because it's just what I really like. And I realized the first novel I ever wrote was domestic suspense or whatever this is called, psychological thrillers. And so when I had kind of found myself in women's fiction, which I liked that as well, that my first three novels were women's fiction. But while my agent was reviewing like this kind of sweet women's fiction series that we were working on, the idea for Best Day Ever popped in my head. And I wrote Paul and he's a creepy character. And, you know, I sent it to her like 2 weeks later, it came out really fast. I'm like, okay, I got this idea. And she's like, oh, I don't read those. I'm like, oh no.
What?
Yeah. So then I sent it to my beta reader and she's like, this is the best book you've written. You've got to make her read it. And so then I went back and begged my agent to read it and she did and she loved it. And then I got my first big publishing deal, which was really fun.
Oh my gosh. Do you still work with the same agent?
No. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, I just think I love my agents now love this space and domestic suspense. And I think, again, you know, it all works out for the way it's supposed to be. But yeah, I think it's important to have an agent who loves what you love too, likes to read what you write. It likes that space and appreciates it. So that's, yeah. So I'm really happy that I have that now.
Good. Yes. Yeah. You need an agent in your corner. For
yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Helps when they like to read.
When they like to read the kind of books you write.
Yeah.
That helps. Yeah.
How long does it take for you to write a book?
Okay. So my friend said you should say a lifetime because it's all your experiences. Because I'm a fast writer, so I'll, you know, get a draft in a few months usually down. But then that makes people go, oh, that's weird. So now I'm like, oh, I don't know.
I don't think it's weird. It's okay.
It just kind of depends, I think, on the story too. Some stories like just burst into like Somebody's Home, for example, just burst into my head and like the characters were there. And I'm a pantser, even though now I have to pretend to be a plotter because they want to see an outline. So I'll usually just write the whole book and then go back and outline it and see if they like it. That's how we're working right now. But anyway, Somebody's Home just came out really fast and furious. And then other books like The Next Wife, she was in my head, both the characters. First Kate, the first wife. And then all of a sudden I thought it would be just her perspective the whole way through. And then Tish is like, no, I have some things to say, the second wife. And then the daughter, Ashlyn, wanted to have some words as well. And she's a strong woman. But then through the process, my agents didn't think Ashlyn needed to have a say, the daughter. And so they cut her out. So then on submission, my publisher came back, my editor, and she's like, you know, we really need to hear from the daughter. I'm like, I agree. So, you know, things like that happen where, I mean, the whole story idea was kind of there and in the world, but, you know, the process it goes through can take a while.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So what books have downloaded themselves fully formed into your head lately? Or like, what are you working on now? What are you toying with?
Yeah. So right now I am in developmental edits for my book that comes out next November soon.
November. What?
November 2022. I know. Well, okay. I told you this is like a pandemic creativity boom. So anyway, this one is called The Widow's Mandate. And so I'm working on the rewrite for this. It's my first one set in Washington, D.C. And it's about, I think the thing is when a cheating congressman's demise allows his wife to take over his congressional seat or something like that. So anyway, it's fun. My husband ran for Congress and it was in office for 2 years. He's running again to try to get back in. But it was just such a fun experience to see Washington from that side. So I think that kind of, I'm like, this would be a great place to set a suspense story. So
yeah. I just finished Hillary Clinton's new book with Louise Penny. And now I feel like I know all about D.C., in a whole new way.
Yeah. I haven't read that yet, but yeah, it is, the whole enchilada is just, it's a whole culture that, yeah. Yeah. And I was, you know, peering inside it for like a year and a half before the pandemic hit. And there's some great things about it. And then there's some, just a lot of tradition and a lot of, yeah, I guess it's traditions. And especially when it comes to the spouses, their roles and how they're, you know, because it traditionally was almost all women and now that's changing. And yeah, it's an interesting time.
So how into houses are you, like actual houses? Like, do you go to open houses? I mean, I know this, you know, this somebody's home, it sort of takes place when a house was sold. I personally am like obsessed with going to open houses and like love new houses and all of that stuff. So I was just curious how you felt about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, And plus being in the real estate business.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you sold the whole business. For 20 years.
Marketing houses. And I mean, I like open houses. I also like just Zillow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, perusing neighborhoods. I often use real estate websites to pick my houses for my characters. I think that's really
interesting.
Fun. Yeah. So like somebody's home. Yeah. And then I'll, you know, just change them around and stuff, but at least it gives me a visual of where they might want to live or what the neighborhood's like. I like doing that too. But yeah, around here, we live in Laguna Beach and I guess the history of this neighborhood, there's no inventory. Everything's sold. So there aren't any open houses right now around here because the market's been so hot. And I know it has been everywhere. It's such a crazy time. But yeah, I love it too. I have my Architectural Digest magazines and I always rip things out. Yeah, I'm a big home person too.
There's just something about also the possibility. That's why I think it's so great you used it for fiction and especially for suspense, because just this idea that like your most personal possession was just somebody else's most personal possession.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, it's like, I can't believe even here, like somebody else used to like be sitting at my desk and it looked different, but you know, right. I don't even know that person. And
right.
It's just crazy. I mean, this sounds ridiculous. I'm sorry. But
no, I agree. I mean, I think there is and the whole presence of the people before you is still there. I mean, it's still there. There's a family with 8 children in our house that we bought from them, you know, 10 years ago. And I mean, I still walk around and like, because we have 4 kids and you know, it was plenty for that, but 8 is a lot in any house. And yeah, you do. I always think of that. I still think about they had like ramps in the courtyard and like little miniature courses.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it is.
How old are your kids?
Oh gosh, they're all in their 20s. So we're like empty nesting right now. That's why I have 3 dogs. filling the house with dogs until, you know, the next phase. But yeah.
Are they excited about your like second whole big writing career here after everything else?
Yeah. I mean, my daughter she's a screenwriter. So she'll read my books and she also helps me with like teenage girl dialogue. I'll run things by her, make sure it sounds like not stupid. And so she does, she works with me and we've written a couple treatments for, you know, like a couple of the novels together. So that's been really fun. I don't think the boys have read any of my books. So my 3 sons, someday they'll, I don't know, want to sit down and do that, but right now they haven't. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But they're like, go mom.
It's nice having kids give them something to cheer about. You know, I don't know. I feel like for so long I was just like cheering for them all the time. Like, yay, this pretend little soccer award that everybody gets in the class. Do you know what I mean? Like, now all of a sudden, like, there are things for both of us. I don't know. It's just nice to.
Well, and I do. Like, I feel like that's what I wrote a lot about that in my book for women entrepreneurs. But I mean, the bottom line is kids want a happy mom and it's whatever fulfills you. But if it's not fulfilling to be doing that soccer thing, and I mean, I've done all that as well. Like to me, it wasn't quite enough. Like I always had to have something continue in my career, even if it was just freelance writing or something that was my own as well. But yeah, I agree. And as long as you're happy doing what you're doing, then your kids are like thriving.
Yeah. Although my daughter's like, you know, doesn't like it when I'm ever busy, but you know, what kid does, right? I'm like, you know, like you were busy 2 minutes ago. Like what? Anyway, doesn't matter.
Right. Well, I mean,
you can't win.
but what you're modeling there is that, you know, patience and like all those other things that don't necessarily just come about by them seeing you having a focus other than just them all the time. It's really, I really do think it's important. And anyway, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they're very proud.
Oh, but just to have something. I mean, I feel like even when they were little, I mean, I did do freelance writing and all this other stuff, but I just, I don't know. I guess even if I had like done crochet or I don't know, if I just had something I was like producing that I was really proud of or something on a regular basis.
Right. Well, I totally agree. I think that's important because it's really easy, as you know, as moms don't have time to lose yourself in your kids and your family and all of that. And I call it caring about the curtains, because when you start caring a lot about the curtains, you probably have too much time on your hands, or you're not, you know, finding something that could be a little bit bigger, helping others. I mean, the other thing is just giving back. I just started working at the food pantry again because COVID and all that stuff. And it's so reward, like whenever you give to others, you just get it back 2-3 times. And it's just, I don't know, I come back and I feel so happy to have done something tangible for somebody else that morning, Thursday morning. So yeah,
it's also important. That sense of feeling connected to the larger world, like when you give back and, you know, you're a part of something. And sometimes if you're just in your house all day or like, you know, hanging out in the in the carriage house, you know, right, forget what else is out there. So I don't know.
Exactly.
What advice would you have for aspiring authors?
Gosh, yeah. Well, I tell this, I have a son who's a singer-songwriter with Sony, and I have a daughter who's a screenwriter. So I tell them, as I would tell anybody, that the only way you won't make it is if you give up, because then you won't. But if you just keep going and keep putting out your best content and keep, you know, and be flexible and be able to pivot. If you're, you know, if you're hitting the wall too many times, then maybe it's time to pivot what you're writing or try something new to pitch. But really there, if I had given up, I would never be here. And that's really it. You just keep writing until something hits and you get that. And then, you know, that's the thing with life too. Like, I'll never forget going to BEA in New York and seeing this big poster of Best Day Ever, like hanging like 6 stories, it felt like, at the Javis Center, right?
Oh my gosh.
I like had that moment where I'm like, oh my gosh. And this guy who was signing people up for like American Express cards is like, are you okay? I'm like, that's my book. He's like, oh my God. And so, you know, like that moment, right? Of like actually having your dreams come true. But then you got to make a new one, right? Because that's like I never imagined that would happen. And then it's like, wow, I gotta get another dream going, right? So that's that whole thing I think that makes life fun is not giving up and sticking with it.
When I first went into the BEA in the Javits Center and saw those flags, I thought I had like died and gone to heaven. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like for a book lover to go in there. And I know they're not having book expo anymore and all that. And, or at least not for a while. I don't know, but oh my gosh. So it was amazing. It was amazing.
It just really was. It's like, you know, I don't know what, whatever the, like the pinnacle of like book dreams are. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. The Oz or something. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, and I do, I think that because there's so many rejections and so many, it's a hard business and it's hard to keep going if you can't find it in yourself and you just need to, and it is lonely because you're in your house and writing for solo. And then like, if you're like me and you don't outline, then you end up with these wacky notes.
Oh my gosh. Look at those.
And I just had a 2-hour call with my editor for the developmental edit. And I'm like, okay. So, yeah. You know, but it's all, then I tell myself, actually my daughter taught me this. She's like, Mom, these are all these people caring about your words and they're trying to help you make them better. So don't get pouty. Just get back in there. I'm like, you are so right. You're so right. So yeah. Anyway.
And that every book is not just the author being like, here you go, but that everyone has input and it keeps continually improving, right?
So much collaboration and so much, yeah, just, I mean, even like the cover design and like everything that goes into making a story come alive. It's a cool, scary, hard, but fun process. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you got to sit around and wait for reviews of this thing that you've worked on forever. And then people come out and just 1-star it, or this other Kirkus just reviewed Somebody's Home Today.
Oh my gosh. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I missed that.
This is my favorite pull quote ever. Okay. Whatever the opposite of family values is, Ruta seems intent on perfecting a genre that enshrines it.
Wow.
Oh, well, okay, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's what my people are doing. Yeah. So that's my first, you know, because you get them and you're like, oh no, I can't open that. But
yeah. Well, nope. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, that you're even reviewed is exciting. I mean, you're a big deal, but you know, it's always
No, it's great. Yeah. But I'm clearly enshrining the opposite of family values. Although I think there's redemption in them as well. So
I won't tell Dan Quayle wherever he is these days, but do you remember that, what I'm talking about? Anyway,
yeah.
Okay. Well, Kara, thank you so much. Thank you to Jill Zarin for introducing us, if you're listening. Yeah, and thanks, I'm delighted to have met you, and hopefully I'll see you in LA one of these days.
Yeah, I'd love that, because I know I was just gone when you were here. And
oh, that's just right.
Ships crossing in the night, but I'm usually always here at my house writing stories. Thank you so much, Zibby.
All right, thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books.
Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.